Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If
Huh?
only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before. No video.
Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
And I was telling,
you totally missed it.
I ran upstairs. I get the MacBook. Of course, the MacBook doesn't work, right? Can't get anything to work. Needs to reboot. So I'm swearing at that. I run downstairs. Emily goes, well, I think we're on a podcast. I'm thinking, fuck, I know I'm on a podcast. Yeah, I'm going to need a computer that works.
I'm trying.
Then I come upstairs. This one wants to reboot. I'm thinking, like, are you kidding me? Anyway, I was on 12 minutes.
You need to get less fancy equipment.
Apparently.
Mine always works. And it's like, you know.
Oh, God, like seriously.
Crappy.
Anyway, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, now that I'm on, I feel better now.
Yeah. So I saved this so you guys could hear the.
Oh, we love it.
Ooh.
Did nice. You hear it? Nice. We heard it.
Good. That sounded good. Oh, I forgot to get a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll drink mine for you.
I'm gonna just text my son and tell him to go grab me a Corona.
I'll be right back. I think I'm gonna go get myself. I'm not a beer guy, but I'm a tequila guy. So I'm gonna get myself.
Oh, okay.
Supper. I'll be right back. You
you're serious?
Yeah, I'll be right back. No, I'm serious.
Oh, you're a beer. Okay, I'm texting.
Listen, that little whoosh like that. That
did sound
like
good. I know. Like... Okay, you know what? I'm gonna text my son.
It's quite refreshing. Yeah.
Because I don't want to bail on you too. Otherwise, we're both bailing on you.
Right.
So, I mean, seriously, how it took me 10 minutes to get on. You think I should be able to hang tough for another couple of minutes, right?
I was going to say all this good beer we have out here and you're drinking Corona.
You know what? I don't drink a lot of beer. Like, I just don't. And I drink much less as the winter rolls around. I do like it because I find it, I find it very thirst quenching. Love it in the summer, right? And in the summer, then I'll go around and I'll fart around looking for some of the locals and stuff. But, you know, this was, I think my daughter's boyfriend was coming over or my brother-in-law. I thought, you know what? Shit. It's Corona. That's what we're getting. And I don't care if anybody easy. Wants it. Exactly. And you get me a beer. You'll love this. So what's going on?
Well, I just did the whole trek across the country again.
Oh, nice.
I think for the last time now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've driven. So I'm just up in Squamish. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that. I figured you were West Coast. I was trying to think of the earth in the city. There you go. Nice boy.
Yeah. So I was in when we met on the Clear Angel.
Right.
I was in Ontario.
I thought you were East Coast. And that's why I looked at the times and I thought, okay, man, she's another good sport, 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, right? I would be comatose right now. You wouldn't be getting much out of me.
Okay. That's all good. No, that's listen, I like this time. Well, for me, it doesn't matter. Like I'm like you, like we usually do 8 o'clock our time, 11 o'clock his, but that's what he likes.
Yeah. I don't really sleep. So it's all good. Wait, can we go back for a second? Cause you said, I did the cross Canada thing again.
And for the last time.
Good. Would you care to?
Yeah.
How many times cross Canada and then?
A lot. I think I've done that drive. Oh my gosh. 10 plus times. A lot. Okay.
It's
so
a lot.
I have a dog that we're kind of attached at the hip and I don't want to put him on a plane. So I always drive.
Okay. So you drive from Squamish out here to Toronto.
Yeah.
A hike, in case nobody's told you, maybe I haven't realized that.
I am. It's a hike. Like you are, because you like, so you don't know this, right? But both of us are drivers at heart. Like I've told stories on this podcast. Like I bought a car once on an online auction and I had to go to Nova Scotia to get it. So I flew to Nova Scotia and drove the car back and everyone thought it was nuts, right? Cause it's like 16 hours. Right. But to me, like, come on, it's 16 hours. Right. So that's like, two-day drives and a nap, right? Like, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
You know, like, but Squamish to Toronto. Like, what is that? Like 3 days of driving?
Yeah. I'll tell you, when I was younger, I could do it in 2.5 days.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Now it takes me, you know, I got the old back. I got to rest.
Yeah. Well, you know, the nap.
Like five, six days now. Yeah.
Yeah. But 2.5 days isn't normal anyway. Like, whether you're younger or not, that's just a shit ton of driving.
Yeah. I could haul ass when I was younger. I don't know. I could just drink energy drinks and just go. Just pull, when I was tired, I'd pull over, just sleep in the back of the car.
Yeah. Then you catnap for a couple hours.
I need a hotel and like.
Well, you want running
water. Oh my
God,
Amy, you've gone soft. You need a hotel. Like, what's
fresh
going on?
Towels, like, maybe a little, you know, bathroom.
Little chocolate on the pillow. And
tomorrow's weather. Oh, why not, right? That's
yeah.
That's yeah, some of the
I've crisscrossed all the U.S. I've driven down to Arizona and Florida, California, all over. Yeah, I'm a road tripper.
Love it. I've done the Florida drive. I've done the Texas drive from Toronto. I haven't made it to California yet, or Seattle. Seattle. I have cousins in Seattle, so. That's probably one day, but I have children now and all the children are, I think I raised them too fancy because they all want to fly and not drive.
You got to get one of those pimped out vans.
I'm working on it, but yeah, I think I'm just going to have to wait for them all to leave and then, you know, get my own. Damn it.
You're a good boy.
Thanks, Daniel.
Phil says, thanks. Well, it's bad. Okay. Now he'll be pissed if I say it on a podcast, but he comes in tonight, you know, maybe thinking of moving in with Anthony, they'll get their own place, thinking, I'm a little depressed. And
nobody will bring you beer anymore.
I never did before, but that's why I'm thinking I might as well take advantage of it. Always a good
guy. He's got a legend. Go free, man.
Mm-hmm. See, I knew that's why people had kids when I was a kid. I knew that's why adults had children, slaves. Yeah. They had them definitely.
It doesn't work.
Not necessarily
very well.
Slaves. A garden, lawn, snow, garbage, and a beer run.
So he has one really great kid, and
he's a good
one
kid.
That offsets the other one.
Nah, she's a great kid too, but she definitely offsets him a little
great
bit.
Kid, but she
not would, like this one.
You would be bringing her a beer. You would. She
oh
would
my God, are you kidding me? It'd probably. And who knows what else? A whole plate of something, right? And I do it.
So we should probably tell the audience. So we have Amy Remark on, and she is, I hope I get this right, but you are the founder of Dirty Jane, and Dirty Jane is actually exactly what it sounds like, which is that it is a place that you can go and get clothes that women can go to get clothes that they should be getting dirty in, riding bikes and all of those sort of things. So if you guys thought something else, shame on you. That is not what it is at all.
It is an adult podcast.
It is an adult podcast, and we are now all
or adult people on the podcast.
Exactly.
But we met Amy at a Clearco event. It seems like a long time ago now.
Was
maybe
it does.
It was warm out and sunny out.
That'd be a couple 3 months ago.
At least
something like that. Well, you were in Ontario at the time, so so anyway, so we met Amy, and then there's an even funnier part, because Amy and I were talking about this before we started recording, but somewhere during that meeting, Yulia Vasileva, who's actually been on the show, so she's been on this podcast twice,
I think,
has, you know, taken a newfound interest in mountain biking. And I said to her, I sent her a note saying, oh my gosh, I just met this founder and you've got to see her stuff, like, it's wicked stuff. And then when I sent it to her, Yulia said, I just rode with her in some event somewhere. I was like, God, this is ridiculous, right? Like, how is this, you know, how
small
is this
world, man?
So it's really funny, right? So anyway, so we're really happy to have you on. We're we're glad to be sharing drinks with you. You know, and we would love to just you know, kind of like hear from you in terms of like where you come from, how how this kind of evolved and then you know, jump into the Dirty Jane stuff a little bit and figure out how you got there as well.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I don't know how I got here. Because I have no retail experience. I'll tell you, I worked at retail once when I was in high school over Christmas. Okay. And I didn't keep that job very long because I wasn't very good at it. But yeah, so I have been mountain biking for 20 years, very long time. I started off in Whistler. I was a bike park rat. I was one of like maybe 10 or fewer women who used to ride there. We had no cool clothes to wear, like none. It was men's clothes, or it was just like, you know, t-shirt, whatever you could just really find to put together. And 20 years later, it's taken now, you know, obviously I live in a mountain bike Mecca, being Squamish, Whistler, you know, Sea to Sky. So the number of women out here riding, I would say it's equal, to the number of men, and the rest of the world, you know, in North America, it's really picking up as well. And it's taken like the number of women riding, and it's taken a long time for the industry to catch up, like a really long time. It's still very male dominated. But there are a lot of, women's specific brands that are popping up. And so, Dirty Jane exists as an online hub where women can come and shop for everything they need to mountain bike, aside from buying the actual bike. And all in one place. Like, it's, so it's easy. They have choice, you know, save some time from having to shop around. Mm-hmm. You know, even being in a hub here, there's nowhere for me to physically go and buy clothes. Even like the options.
In Vancouver, Whistler, Squamish, really?
Yeah, the options are so limited.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I find that really strange. Honestly, maybe in Toronto, and Toronto should, because of the size of Toronto. But I mean, are there no mountains here?
But it's,
or bike trails, like, so sports is a really,
but sports is a really weird industry. like the biggest segment emerging in sports today is women, right? Like,
yeah,
women are playing everything, and somehow the industry's just not caught up. Like, if you look at, so
that's crazy.
CrossFit is a really funny one. If you look at CrossFit, though, CrossFit is the same thing. Is like every CrossFit gym has somebody making shorts, crop tops, like all that kind of stuff, because it's ridiculously hard to find the right gear. And they're all over the place. Like, so I remember meeting, like, I was in LA probably like 3 or 4 years ago, and I met, like, I thought it was so weird, because I thought, this was before we started the podcast, and I thought, wow, I just met a founder who like makes CrossFit gear. And then I met another founder who makes CrossFit gear. And then you realize, like, they're all making it because nobody sells.
Nobody else is making it for them.
Like, nobody sells stuff that actually makes any sense. And it's absurd, right? That half our population is underserved, right?
But I just find it amazing, yeah. more like, just because of where we are, not two of us are, one of us not, that like of anything that you should be able to find is anything related to any bike for anybody at any time.
Yeah.
No, I mean, crying out loud, it's Vancouver.
You know, maybe one store will have like one run of one color and one size.
Really? I never would have thought that. Seriously. I find that amazing.
Oh, like, I mean, so it's funny too, because my middle daughter, the podcasters, the audience will know, right? Like, she's during the pandemic, we got on a fitness kick. She's super buff, right? But, you know, she's 15, and so everything Nike size 0 fits her, but that's it, right? Like, you can't actually find, if you're a Nike size 0, great, you can get stuff, right? Like size 0 to 2, maybe 4, and that's it, right? And then the rest of the world just, sorry.
Oh, it's crazy. Like,
it's insane. It's kind of insane.
It's true. That is also starting to change a little bit too, especially in the bike industry. You know, people, companies and brands are realizing that, I mean, just in general, humans are getting bigger. So, you know, the size spectrum, even from like, you know, zero, I mean, having extra, extra small, you know, is just as important as having, you know.
Large.
All right. I find it. Anyway, so sorry to interrupt, but well, okay. Bizarre, but that's different. Next.
Yeah. Okay.
So take us back before Dirty Jane. Mm-hmm. Because, so you didn't do retail. What did you do? Yeah.
Oh man. I always feel awkward when people ask me this question. I've done a lot. I'm like, the reference in the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, be like a generalist at a lot of things, not an expert at one thing. I'm like the generalist at a lot of things.
Yeah.
Man, I have done everything from like, I've worked at an accounting firm. Right. I worked as an executive assistant for a little while. I was terrible at that. I owned a cleaning company for a while that I started and sold. I had a landscaping company. I'm a copywriter on the side of owning Dirty Jane. I've done a lot.
You've done a lot of stuff on your own, like a lot of entrepreneurial.
And you're an email marketer. Is that right?
I am.
Really?
Huh.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it, Phil?
It's nice to meet email marketers. It's hard.
It's
another. Find...
It's a different. It's a whole different podcast episode.
Yes, it
definitely has its advantages as an e-commerce owner as well. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'll bet. I mean, you probably it. Maybe you get this because you are an email marketer. It's the hardest thing to teach like
e-commerce
or entrepreneurs like what email marketing is and when you're supposed to do it, when you're not supposed to do it.
Totally.
It's hard actually.
Yeah.
They don't get it, right? Like it's probably one of the most ethereal things about the business.
I would say the most frustrating thing for me as an email marketer hearing from other business owners is, oh, but it's spammy. People don't want spam. They don't want it. And I'm like, they joined your email list so they could get emails from you.
They signed up for your
spam at that point. It sort of eliminated the whole spam
idea.
No,
but they signed up for your spam. So whatever you're
spamming, so it's not spam anymore.
I signed up.
Yeah. And I'm like, if they don't want to get your emails anymore, they just unsubscribe. Easy peasy.
Yeah. There's a button for that. So that's cool because you've got some ownership in your background, right? Because you've built some companies like landscape companies and cleaning companies, and then when did you start Dirty Jane?
So Dirty Jane. So here's the interesting backstory, Dirty Jane. So it was started actually in 2011.
Okay.
And I took over. It had kind of faded out, and then I took over 2 years ago. Redid the website.
So it's not your creation. Like this was someone else started Dirty Jane.
Okay. So it's actually my very close friend of mine.
I was going to ask you if it was a friend. Yeah. Was it okay?
It was. Yeah. And then we kind of conjoined, and then she just had moved on to other things. Right. So I've carried it on. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so you guys started it together. You said like at the same. Was it a joint thing or was it her thing? And then you
came in. It was her thing. And then I came in
and then you took it over.
And I'm still here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I've been around since the beginning, like just as a friend. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's good. It looks great.
It looks great.
Like you've got some really great stuff on it.
Good. I do. Yeah. I'm one of those founders that does everything. I build the website, I write the copy, I take most of the photos.
Usually there's not many people beside him to do it. You look around the room.
I know.
Well, I guess I know.
I know. I keep waiting for these little fairies.
Some elf for somebody to show up.
Yeah.
They do. It's you.
I know.
A couple beers later, you're the elf.
Right? Yeah.
Well, we were laughing with Jeff Smith, who was like an ex big wig at J&J. And he said, I started this business and like, I used to like you know, people ask me like, can I do social campaigns? I'm like, yeah, I can do those. Oh, wait, you actually want me to do them? Like, I actually have to post stuff? Because at J&J, you just say, we're doing it, and then it just gets done. But he's like,
he had
now,
minions all over the place doing stuff.
He's like, right? Now I got to find the FedEx number. Yeah. I got to, like, you know, I got to figure out how to actually, like, ship crap. And, like, you know, I'm packing boxes. You're like, yeah, that's, I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's where you go, right?
Like, I know. Almost got to do it.
I really like that trending Instagram reel right now where it's, I quit my 9-to-5 to run my own business, and now I work. Now I work 24 hours a day or whatever it is that they say. I'm like, yep, that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it though. That's that's what you sign up for.
Yeah.
So
you've got this.
I actually ride my bike less now.
I'm sure you do. When are you going to find time?
Yeah, I try.
No, that sucks though.
It does suck, but it's unfortunate, but it is typically the beginning.
Listen, stop being a jerk. It sucks. She rides bikes. It's what she loves. Why are you being so pragmatic about this? Because
she's trying to sell more clothes to buy more bikes.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way to do that.
Yeah.
You do. You got to find someone to do the other shit for you.
I know. That's my dream. I keep trying to manifest it. So waiting for it.
Get there.
Yeah.
So right now, is your whole world online? Is your whole existence strictly online? Are you doing anything anywhere else? Is it?
No, everything's online.
Strictly online.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You have cool.
All online.
And how's it been going through the pandemic?
Mm-hmm.
Good. It's good. It's I noticed in sales, like you can tell when people are stuck inside versus not stuck inside. Like I would say about April, maybe April, May.
Yeah.
When things started opening up again, especially in the States, cause that's where most of my sales are. People were getting out and doing stuff and spending money on experiences again. I noticed a bit of a dip then. But then things kind of started ramping up again. And then of course now we're coming into the holiday season. So
right, you noticed a dip.
I did. When people started getting out more, I saw a dip in sales, but it's recovered now.
That's a little weird.
I would have thought everybody was going out, they were buying.
Yeah.
Well, they're not sitting at home shopping online. They were all out, you know, going to events again.
Actually, it was back to probably restaurants. People had this pent up energy
restaurants.
For eating out.
Right. Like everyone had the same.
Yeah. Bike parks opened up.
Right.
But
so your majority of your sales are in the States.
Yeah.
And yet, like in our little area where you and I are, there's 2.5 million people that don't have places to go to buy the clothing. I would have assume, because we're a big bike population in the lower mainland, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
All the way up the Sunshine Coast, that you would think that you would be crushing it here.
I know, you would think.
That's just weird, right?
It's just getting in front of people, because Dirty Jane has predominantly been, I guess there's just more people with more money in the US, you know, shopping more. So Dirty Jane hasn't been very well known in Canada. And then of course, most of the products, were getting shipped from the US. So, you know, people, have to pay import fees and stuff. So I've actually spent the last year, like really changing the model of Dirty Jane. I'm very open about this on my website. So like working with the brands and getting products shipped directly from their warehouses.
Right.
Like
I am slowly shifting that to actually holding inventory, which is very scary.
Right.
But I'm slowly doing it so that I actually am holding inventory in Canada. So Canadians, when they shop, don't get dinged with the import fees.
That's scary.
I just find Canada as a whole a bit more challenging for online retail, because everything is more expensive here, you know, like even to ship a package in Canada, ship it across the country, it's $20, you know,
and
people were like, why is shipping so expensive? I'm like, because it costs me $20 to get it to you.
Yeah, it wasn't something I planned. It was when I went to the post office, they gouged me.
Yeah.
Or you can wait until I'm driving cross country and I'll make sure I stop and drop it off. But
it's just happening less and less, so unfortunately. You know, you may be waiting a while.
So three times a year, maybe, but you know, you're gonna wait. So
but it definitely changes. It's definitely a difficult gig.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's harder. And while I really want to serve Canadian women bikers, it's like, you know, it's educating people on just the difference between, you know, shipping stuff in Canada versus shipping stuff in the States. I mean, USPS, you can ship a package across the country for $7, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this country is different. Like, I don't think people really sort of get that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not even trying to compete with Amazon. Like,
no, don't bother.
Yeah, I don't. So, yeah.
Well, there's no point.
And I sell high end products. You know, they're not cheap. So, you know, if you're buying a pair of $100 shorts, you know, maybe you can pay $15 to get them shipped to you.
Well, again, and if you're in an industry where there's not a lot of choice for women anyway, I mean, seriously, what do you care? Because again, like, just take our example, West Coast, mountains everywhere, biking is a huge part of the culture, and women still can't find a real place to shop. Who cares about shipping?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
But it's really not it's not the same thing, right? Like your bike jerseys alone, you know, you look at some of these and they're beautiful, right? Like, you can go on Amazon and get, you know, a piece of crap, you know, from China or wherever it's made, right? Wherever it's made,
right.
And have it at your doorstep for $15, but you're not getting.
It's crap. Sorry.
The Oceania shirt is amazing. Like, some of these jerseys are just.
They're phenomenal.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have your own brand in here, Dirty Jane.
I do. Yeah. A little bit.
Good for you. So how are you procuring that, or how are you managing that?
Yeah. So right now I'm getting my jerseys, they're just whitelisted on another brand.
Okay.
But I do have a goal of eventually starting my own line. My part of that is I'm just a super ethical person. I'm like, I'm vegan. I want fair wages. I want the environmental aspect, you know, all this stuff. So it's just like, the hours and time that I'm going to have to put into spending to find out how and where to get them.
And everything.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one for you, but that's okay. At least you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's good. Right.
Yeah.
So now you're thinking of actually going into some warehousing and distributing yourself. How are you managing that? Are you using third party warehouse, and are you doing it in the house?
I'm doing it in house. I knew this was going to come up. I've listened
to
your episodes, and I'm like, they tell everyone to go to a fulfillment center. And
Not necessarily.
No.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
I mean, it has to fit for you, right? It really does.
It depends on the industry too, right? It depends on what you're doing. Some stuff definitively you should not do at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And stuff like this, where it may not be the worst option, potentially. Yeah.
So I'm doing it here because I am also changing. There's the positives and negatives of fulfilling my own stuff. I can't go on vacation for more than like 4 days.
Yeah.
But I also, part of Dirty Jane is, you know, part of also the reason why I want to warehouse my own stuff is because I want it to be like a real experience for women, you know, from the customer service. Like, I do all the customer service. I like answering all the questions about sizing. I really want to help women get into the right gear that will work for them. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to return it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole packaging thing. So I'm just in the process of like getting, custom like compostable tissue paper so that, you know, I can take the plastic wrap off the stuff, which I wish more brands would stop using plastic, more switching. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to wrap it in the branded tissue paper and have like, you know, stickers and cards and stuff in there because I want it to, you know, I just want them to have that really cool, awesome feeling when they shop.
It's high end, right? It's high end. You're one of the few places that fit women to what they want. and you're one of the few places that actually carry, you know, women's sizes, women's cuts, right? So it makes sense to me. Like, yeah. I think it's
logical too. Service
makes sense, right?
Like, I think it's logical too. If you can charge for it, because Phil and I, yeah. I'm sure you listen to podcasts. We know you're gonna get grilled in a few spots. So you can make money at this, right?
Yeah.
So the margins are set where you can manage. You can manage bringing it in, holding it, mm-hmm. the extra time and attention to do. I mean, because it all costs money, right? Time is mm-hmm. money. I mean, it's great. You can spend, but if you're spending an hour packaging something, your retails better be freaking high and your margins fat. Otherwise, yeah, you put no value on your time.
Right.
Is where I always worry with, especially home entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't want to end up being one of those people that's literally working 100 hours a week and not ever sleeping because I'm just frantically processing orders and packaging and stuff. So, you know, another part of my vision is to have, is to eventually get a smaller warehouse here in town with a bit of a storefront. So I can have that aspect for women, and then eventually, hopefully, you know, I'll hire someone to be
going into retail.
Yeah. I have fully into it. I know. Trust me. I have my moments where I'm like,
what are you doing, young lady?
Why would I do this?
I love it.
I don't want you to get a storefront. I want you to get a mobile storefront.
Oh my God. Like,
listen, you need a ride. Because that's what you love.
Yeah.
Like a food truck idea, except for this.
Yeah, yeah. Except like catered women's, like.
How cool would that be? You could go to events, just park there.
Events.
Shit, man, that'd be awesome. Well, then you got a place to hang out and sleep.
If you pulled up at that thing that you and Yulia were at, and you had a van, like a pop-up van, you had apparel and sizes and everything. You got the chance to ride by the time you get back. And like, I think there's appeal in that is like, you're a little dirty, you're kind of gritty because you've just been riding, but you're wearing stuff that other women can buy. And like the first thing those cyclists are all going to go is, where'd you get that? Oh,
100%.
Follow me over. I got a 100%.
See that van over
and
there?
Now you can make the cross country thing. It's not such a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least when you're making the cross country thing, if it takes 6 days, each day you stop, you make some business.
Yeah,
I'm literally trying to combine all the things that you love into one thing.
But what's
I love it. But I love it. Thank you. You're my
how
new.
Cool is that, though?
You're my new business operations manager. But just it's volunteer. Just so you know, it's volunteer.
Yeah, but that's okay. I've taken worse jobs. I promise.
Trust me. We volunteering is sometimes the middle name. It's all good. But think about that. You could go across
like that.
The country.
We love retail like that.
Take the dog, you mm-hmm. park, you sleep, you got, I mean, honestly, like it'd be such a cool way to do, to do things. The retail front, like a true retail front to me always freaks me out because you're stuck. Mm. Right. I love the mobile idea for so many different businesses,
because it's such
a great idea.
Like in this case, it just fits. Like you are a pop-up, you're experiential. You've got the crowd right where they are.
But Phil, you can go to Stanley Park. You can go to any of the bike trails. You go to Whistler.
Yeah, yeah.
You go up to Pemberton.
You've always, like you're going literally to where your audience is, right?
Exactly.
Like you know, that's the captive audience. Yeah. Anyway,
you can do it just on a day when you want to
ride. I have visualized that before. As
I think that's awesome. Yeah. That would be so cool. Like so cool.
I'm going to, after our episode, I'm going to go online and start looking for van giveaways.
You know what? Don't kid yourself.
There's advertising one right now. I'm sure, but I just saw it. I love van life. I have three children, so van life isn't actually a thing for me.
No, van life's a dream because you have three children.
Yeah.
I tried trailer life once. I sold off my home and all my possessions, and I had this dream of living tiny. So I bought, you know, like a 32-foot travel trailer with slide outs and stuff.
Cool.
I actually get to say I lived in a trailer down by the river.
How cool is that, man? You're a song.
Amazing. I am. Yeah. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Upgrade the whole thing. And then, you know, I was just... We had an especially cold, snowy winter, and I was up there shoveling snow off the roof for the third time that week, and I was like, I just think I want to move into a apartment
home again. Shit, that was a great idea.
Yeah. That was fun. Now it's shitty.
Yeah, no, I don't like it anymore. Damn it, I sold my house.
Yeah, I get that.
But I definitely could see if you still live in the house, but you took the office on the road.
Yes.
It's a whole different game. And I think that's a cool, cool idea. Like if you've ever been to any of the major, not major, but any big sporting events. So like, let's say in Washington State where, you know, they do have those, like, let's say football games, tailgate parties. There are places close. Mm-hmm. And that person will go to the Seahawks and then they run to, you know, Washington State University. Mm-hmm. And then they may do some basketball, but they run around with stuff and people love it, right? Because what the hell? You're there?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think it's such a, that'd be such a cool idea. And it gives you the freedom and flexibility to move around.
Totally. And you know what sucks is that I actually, since I haven't, so I had plans on going to all these events, but so December 2019 is when I really took over for Dirty Jane. And
damn it.
I know. And then the pandemic hit, everything shut down in 2020. And then this year I had this whole plan for all these things. I was like, okay, for sure shit's going to open this year.
Yeah, we all thought that.
This whole list, and I just kept waiting for that border to open. And it's just like, come on, you're killing me. Yeah. So another whole season with not being able to, because most of the action is down in the States. So it's just like, yeah.
It's
so
not that much longer though, right?
Well, like
plan for the winter.
Yeah, fingers crossed next year.
Yeah. Because now you got 3 months before a season starts again.
But that's right? I guess
that's not true, right? Because the southern states
continue
to ride.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. I did spend a winter once down in Arizona, and that was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What so because you're an email marketer, this is I think this one's really relevant, because I feel like for anyone who doesn't grasp that idea, like what did email marketing play a big part or play a part in your pandemic sales?
I don't know if it was just in general, online shopping was up.
Yeah.
I am a very non-traditional email marketer. Mm-hmm. I don't follow that formula that all these other online stores seem to, you know, where it's just like graphic after graphic after graphic after, you know, I'm super text heavy. I'm a storyteller. And people respond really well. I write in first person.
You're authentic though, right? Like,
but that's, but then that's why they respond, because it feels like I'm talking to you or I'm reading you. And then if I hear you on a podcast or wherever, I'm thinking, oh shit, man, she sounds like she reads, because she reads shit, like she sounds.
It's your shit, and it's your email, right?
Yeah, so I'm loving this, man.
It totally works. Like,
I get positive feedback from it, so it's great. Yeah.
I actually really love it
too.
Yeah, I have a whole email set up just for signups. Like, I sign up, you know, because I'm a marketer.
Yeah, I have one of those.
I'm always interested, right? Like, I'm always interested, but I actually. Like when I get spam, it makes me crazy. Like when because you can tell sometimes when email marketers or people who are sending emails haven't put any work into it, right? Mm-hmm. And then, but the ones that do, I actually love them, right? Like I actually read them all, right? Because
Or if they're well written, you kind of like, you can kind of get it, right?
There's an art to it, right?
Are you on the Shinesty? Oh my god, I would love to be able to write emails like that. Like, I'll get kind of crass in mine every once in a while, but not like that, you know?
No.
Oh, man.
I don't know how.
Oh,
I can't even hold a straight face. I don't even know.
Oh, man. Like, I love their emails. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to explain it? I'm sure the audience is going, what are these two idiots?
Yeah, they're basically like X-rated emails. I mean, they just don't hold back. But I like how they have a disclaimer that's like, you know, if you want the PG stuff, go to Facebook. If you want the, you know, whatever, the X-rated is their email list. And it's just, so they're, I'm sure people know those ball hugger boxers, you know, they've been around for a while, but they've kind of expanded their line. But yeah, they are hilarious.
They're like, unrepentant. I love it.
They are. Oh man. I love it. They're just like, if you don't like it,
Don't read it.
Subscribe. Go away.
Yeah. Find somewhere else to go. Don't really care.
I wish I just can't. It's my upbringing. It's everything. It's the DNA.
It's got to be built into it. There's certain people that can do certain things because it's true to them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is probably awesome. While people respond to you. I feel like I would read you the way you are. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'd be thinking, okay, that's the way she is. I get it. I totally understand what I'm buying into and why I'm buying into it.
Yeah.
To totally see that.
Yeah. There's no smoke and mirrors here.
No, it is what it is.
Exactly.
What you see is what she gets.
Exactly.
So this is amazing. Okay. So next for you is to keep growing the online business, maybe get a bricks and mortar, maybe get a mobile store.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
In the mobile. Seriously, I'm not going to say I'm not. Like in the mobile.
Okay. Yep.
Not that we're going to influence this or push us in a direction. Like in the mobile.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. The mobile would certainly help with brand awareness.
Yeah. Like in the mobile.
The thing is, like, so I understand the US and Canada thing, because in the US, you just got like every demographic. Like you're appealing to 50% of the demographic, and then you're appealing to maybe 20 or 30% of that demographic that is actively riding, and probably 5 to 10%, if not lower, that actually do like serious riding. Right. So it's a small niche. And then like you hit a city like LA, and like your ability, like whether you use Google Ads or you use email or you use, you know, programmatic ads or whatever you do, right? Like even just organic social, you're hitting a really large number. Right. But when you take like Vancouver or like the entire, you know, like Vancouver, Squamish, the whole bit, like Vancouver is what, like at like 700,000 people. And you take half that number.
Still a decent size.
Of that number. It is a decent size, but now you're down to, you know, what, 6,000, 7,000 women maybe that can sell. And then you're going to convert 1%, 2% of that number, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
the thing with this area is, especially in the summertime, it is a vacation destination.
Yeah.
You know, in the summer, we'll see a lot more people up here. So yeah. I could capture, you know, all of those visitors. But I'll admit, I do love the idea of the road tripping in the van.
Well, you got two seasons. See, like you do summer up here. So you do May to September up here. You take a month to get your shit together. November, you head down to Arizona, Nevada, SoCal.
And you
stay there till like literally like March. You come back in April, get your shit together, and May start up again. Like seriously, it's totally doable.
I love
it. Totally,
you guys got my life planned out for me.
It totally makes sense for your for your lifestyle and for what you do. And the thing is, I you know, if I went to a van with someone like you, the odds of buying are huge, right? Well, they are because you're gonna give a shit. You're gonna walk me through it. You're gonna take some time. Like seriously, at that point, you can't beat that.
Like and the thing is, you get there. And now you lend yourself to partnerships. Let's say you go down to, you know, Arizona, and there is, you know, because I think like, you know, the number of women who are probably expert riders are probably really small too.
That's small. Right.
And so kind of go, okay, so if you're going to be there, you're going to bring a following with you. I'm going to bring a following with me. So now my following is going to get to meet an expert trail rider who we'll probably take a bunch of people out and show them the ropes, you know, show them some difficult trails. And then they're going to come back and see my cool shit on display. Mm-hmm. You know, like to me, that's almost better than any other, you know, like this, the wide angle socials that you might blast out there. You get a much smaller conversion. Now you've got fanatics all in one.
But you got a small number, but you're converting on a high level. Yeah. Like you're converting. Now you're 1 in 3, 1 in 4. You know what I mean? Like you're because they're bought and sold. And you know, and if you can play off the name, or so is dirtyjane.com.ca all you? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, seriously, Dirty Jane is such a cool name on its own. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So, but if you can start trademarking and farting around, come on.
Yeah,
like, there's nowhere you can't go on this one. Like, this is so cool.
So exciting.
You guys are getting me all pumped.
That's awesome. Like, seriously.
I'm pretty pumped for you.
I'm pumped for you, too. Oh
yeah, God. Thank you. Thank you.
And we won't send a bill until at least you get a year into it. Ideas are cheap, but they're not free, baby.
I would go so far as to say this, though. If you ever, like, so there's no pressure, right? If you don't do this, you go a different route or whatever, you do that. But if you ever do the van, I would, like, I'd love to be there when you do it for the first time. Like, I'd love to,
especially if you do it around this area. Let's do it, man. That'd be awesome. Like,
you know, yeah.
All right.
Well, maybe we can even get Kenny on a bike.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We'll get you to fly out here and
absolutely
bring your bike.
Oh my god, I come out anytime. No, you don't want to see my bike. I have an old. I'll ride. I've ridden with Yulia, but I was apologetic the whole time because I've got this old rally bike that can manage the trails, but protests all the way through. I don't know if it's me or whether it's my knees or the bike that protests more, but you know, a bit of both. Yeah,
probably a bit of both.
She has a nice bike.
Oh my God, she has a nice
bike. I'm trying to I keep saying manifest a lot. I've been joking about it with a friend, like I'm manifesting all this shit. Just like I'm in the bike industry. Somebody needs to give me a new bike. I'm due. Well,
this is the shit we work on later, right? You start developing and you get that brand out there. Goddamn right, you're trading for bikes and a whole shit ton of swag, because that's a good business relationship both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I do get swag. I will say I'm pretty swag.
We want swag in the form of a bike.
I would like
a fun, cool t-shirts I can get anywhere, man. I want You got to watch the Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman thing, the long way round, long way down, long way up.
Oh, right? I'm watching long way.
One of the long ways.
Long way down is the one they do from, Scotland to Africa to South Africa.
Is that where he broke his foot or something?
Yeah, just before he left.
Yeah. Okay.
But you'll like it because you're more environmentally friendly. Watch The Long Way Up, which is Argentina, Los Angeles, because they do it on electric Harleys.
Oh, cool.
Like, it's phenomenal. My wife and I don't motorcycle, and we could not stop watching it.
I want one of those so bad.
But the beauty of it really is now, and I know it's Ewan McGregor, but still is how they leverage all these other brands to participate because they're being branded. You know, it's a great thing. Like, and again, Dirty Jane is such a cool name anyway. You fit the name in the sense, like, you do this shit, you're a biker, you love it. Like, you are so easy to sell because you're so authentic to what it is. Like, you can't, like, people try to build that shit or buy that shit and not just be it. Like, seriously, you're in a really cool spot. I think you are anyway. I think it's so exciting.
Thank you. Can you go tell more people?
Absolutely. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
That's why you come on and drink on a podcast.
Yeah.
Love it.
Awesome.
Thank you for coming out. We'll put Dirty Jane on the website, all that stuff on the show notes. Where can people find you if they want to find you, or if women want to buy wonderful biking gear?
Yeah. So I have dirtyjane.com, and then, which is mainly the US shoppers. And then I have dirtyjane.ca, where if you're in Canada, you can shop and you won't have to pay any import fees. But you can still shop on the .com. Like, if there's something on the .com store that we don't have on the .ca store, you're more than welcome to shop there. But it's just shipping is going to be more and you have to pay import fees.
Whatever.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Amy, thank you for coming on. This has been
amazing.
Thank
awesome. You. Seriously,
yeah, this cool. was fun. It was easy. Yeah, it was really great. It really was just like shooting the shit.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. That's what we try to do.
Yeah. My hands were all clammy right before it started.
A couple minutes with us and you realize, that they're definitely not going to be smarter than I am. So, I mean, how bad can I look, right? No, it's all good. I really enjoyed that. That was fun.
We love it. And like, kind of keep in touch. Let us know.
Like, seriously, if the band thing's happening or if you want some ideas or some help or whatever it is.
Be careful. I might exploit you.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Seriously, absolutely.
For exploitation. Everybody else does it.
Everybody else does. Why not?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy. It's nice meeting you. Nice talking to you.
Yeah,
we'll
you
chat
too.
Soon.
Okay.
Okay. Have a great night.
Thank you. Thanks. Phil, you're hanging on.
Yep. Yeah. Staying on. She's great.
It's like, you know, I love the ones that we meet that actually fit what they do, like almost too well.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, I think the van idea you had is phenomenal.
Dude, I'm so excited. I hope she does it.
You know why?
I really do.
Honestly, Phil, think it like, because she's of the spirit, right? She could do, like, she, because she's actually done it, she could do 4 months of shows and not bat an eye, not even be stressed about it. And the contacts she would get. Now, seriously, I don't know. I wonder if she trademarked Dirty Jane.
I don't know. Maybe.
She should look at doing it. You know what she should do? She should call Tim, our lawyer buddy, because Tim does stuff like that. But I mean, stuff like that, like if she can brand a bunch of this shit, it's such a cool name. She's a great person. Like, oh my God, come on.
I don't see a TM on her.
Well, that's what I was saying. I know she owns the .com, but she actually owns Dirty Jane.
I don't know. She's got shirts, but I don't see the TM. So normally I would think you'd see the TM on them.
You know, and I doubt you can't. You know, Jane or Dirty are not going to be trademarkable, but Dirty Jane as a word or one run-on word might be something. Yeah. It's probably worth looking into because I think she could, I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, vans and all that shit dominated an industry. Like she's probably pretty much on her own to a large degree. Listen, in this space.
Those guys, I mean, the snowboard guys all started like that.
I'm trying to think of who, I know, I couldn't think of the brands. Or even the old Billabongs and all that stuff. Like that stuff was so.
What's the snowboard company that starts with a B?
I can't think of it. I'm trying to think. Even the surfing company starts with a V.
Yeah. But all of them are like that, right?
But that's what they are. And you know, when you see them for the first time as an outsider, you have no clue. And then you look around at the event.
Burton. I think Burton started.
Okay, that sounds right.
Well. Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the surfer one too. I'd never heard of it. And then in Hawaii, we're at the beach watching surfing and thinking, oh, what's that brand? They're thinking, all right, obviously I'm an idiot. Everybody here is wearing that brand.
Everybody's,
okay, apparently I'm the dummy. Okay. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, I mean, Dirty Jane, come on.
Yeah.
So
I
cool.
I know. So well, cool. And I really do. Like, I think when you start thinking about the, like, the marketing stuff is you kind of go, okay, so I'm going to spend 30, 40 grand on a van. Amortize it over whatever, right? Like I'm going to carry materials around. I'm going to get a chance to ride. I'm going to get decked out in my own Dirty Jane stuff. And then I got to put out a handful of socials and maybe pair with like the local club, you know, trail rider.
Trail guys.
And then all of a sudden now what I would, you know, the 100 women that I might reach through organic socials, I've now like found those, and I found, you know, every other woman who's riding on the trail, which is probably half of the people riding on trails.
Exactly. And hardcore influencers.
You know what I mean? Like,
Seriously.
I know.
You know, then you look at the sponsorship, and this is when you look at like sport.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, I can think of water companies and all these people that would be thinking, yeah, we can team with you.
Yeah.
Like, why not, man?
100%.
Like, seriously.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's good. That is super cool. Good for her.
Anyway, so good for her. She's fantastic.
Yeah. Liked it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I got.
I've
been looking forward to this one. I actually was excited.
I forgot she had done until she came on. I remember you.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. And it's funny because she really is, she's an email marketer as well.
That's kind of cool too. Funny.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool too.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, my friend, are we sticking on or do you want to do
later? Yeah. Let me thank you for listening to the podcast.
Oh, yes. I appreciate all of you joining us tonight.
Appreciate you. And then we'll be back next week.
Sounds good.